This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
While this is all going on, the Memphis Grizzlies go out and decide to become one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Guy who covers the Cavs for the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com also works right here with us. Joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Chris Fedor. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm just walking in Memphis.
Oh, are your feet 10 feet off of Beale?
Not on Beale yet. I'm on B.B. King Boulevard.
Very nice.
So I'm close to Beale, actually.
Very nice. The Blue City Cafe that sits at the top of Beale, away from the FedEx Forum.
Name dropper.
It's where they filmed that one scene with Ed Harris in the movie The Firm with Tom Cruise. Go in, don't look around because you won't eat there. Just wait for the food to show up because it's pretty darn good.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
The food's pretty good. Yeah, food's pretty good.
All right, well, thanks, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate that. This trip has been weird because you give up 128 points against the Lakers and the Clippers, two teams that are really pretty good. But you beat Denver, which you didn't expect to do. And you beat Detroit, which, you know, it's a road game, so you don't really expect to win that if you're a struggling team like the Cavaliers have been. Your overall assessment of what you've seen on this trip?
So I think I'll rephrase what you said, and I'll say that this season has been weird, this road trip.
Okay.
I mean, assessing this team at the halfway point, guys, I think is really, really complicated because there are so many different layers to what has happened already this year. But in terms of this road trip, you know, for them to play the way that they did in the face of all the adversity, self-inflicted wounds of John Beilein's verbal slip-up, I thought that was really, really important. I thought that was really telling. It showed that the guys were still willing to play hard for him, play hard for each other. It showed that there was still a level of buy-in. And I continue to see them playing hard. It doesn't always mean that they play well. So I think it's just a hard team to evaluate because if you're just going to focus on end results, you're probably going to be disappointed and you're going to say, okay, this team's a disaster. This rebuild's a disaster. But I just don't think you can evaluate the team that way. I think you have to look at little things throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a season, to get a full picture of what's happening here.
You know, when you take a look at it, a win is a win and a loss is a loss. I know that's so primary. But should there be concern of getting blown out so often, or is that just part of the growing pain?
So obviously, Les, you don't want to lose by 30 on the road. And you don't want that to be consistent because you want to be in meaningful moments and you want these young guys to be part of a competitive environment and a competitive game. But look, that happens in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, teams lose by 30. It sucks, but it happens. It happens to good teams. It happens to bad teams. It's just the nature of basketball sometimes. Sometimes you don't make shots and you lose by 30. And it's not like the Cavs are losing by 30 to the New York Knicks, right? It's not like they're losing by 30 to the Charlotte Hornets and other teams on their level. Like, if you're going to measure the Cavs, if your overall takeaway is I'm going to measure the Cavs against the Los Angeles Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers, then you're doing it wrong. And you're being completely unfair to where the Cavs are during this rebuild and the reality of what their situation is right now. And it doesn't excuse some of the things that have happened throughout the course of the season with, you know, Kevin's temper tantrum, John Beilein's continued slip-ups, the frustration that has been built within at times. It doesn't excuse all that. But if you didn't expect that to happen at times coming into this year, then I don't know what to tell you. You're really, really naive about what this season was going to be.
Chris Fedor is joining us. So the team has struggled. I think you're absolutely right. You expected that when you looked at this team. And if you're Kevin Love, you should have expected that. And you know what you're getting into when you sign that contract anyway. There's still talk about Kevin around the league and trades. The trade deadline is February 6th. Do you see a big move, Chris? And to me, big move means Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson. The other guys on expiring contracts, that's business in the NBA. But I think those two guys, Tristan and Kevin, even with Tristan on an expiring contract, is a big move. Do you see them both being moved, staying put? What?
So this is the hard thing right now. A lot of teams around the NBA, guys, are trying to figure out which direction they're going to go. You know, the bottom of the East is relatively still wide open. The bottom of the Western Conference is relatively still wide open. So you have a lot of these swing teams that could determine what happens with the Cavs and what happens with other teams around the trade deadline. Like New Orleans, are they going to be a buyer or seller? If they become a seller, all of a sudden they have guys like Drew Holiday, maybe Derek Favors, that they could send away. Oklahoma City was a team that a lot of teams thought around the NBA, hey, they're going to sell at the deadline. Maybe we can get in on Danilo Gallinari. Maybe we can get in on Steven Adams and Schroeder. So until a lot of those teams figure out which direction they're going to go, I think it's going to be hard for the Cavs to really have a great gauge of if Tristan, Kevin, some of these other guys are going to be here beyond the deadline. The thing that I don't know when it comes to Kevin, and I don't think there's a way to know for sure, is have the Cavs gotten to the point where they feel like the relationship with Kevin is so strained, he's so upset, he wants out so much, but he does want to be traded. I know that for sure. He wants to play on a contender. He's felt that way for the last couple of weeks at least. But if they bring him back beyond the deadline and say, hey, it makes more sense for us to try and trade you in the off season where there aren't a lot of really good quality free agents, like, is that something that you'd be okay with? Would you be a good soldier? Would you be a good influence? Would you keep your emotions in check? You know, all those things, I don't know how to answer that because I don't know how Kevin would respond to that type of situation.
Okay, so you get the answers to that question or those questions, Chris. What about the questions of injuries or the fact that he has trouble playing two games in a row?
Sure. I mean, obviously that's a risk that you run anytime you're talking about Kevin, but the Cavs have felt from the very beginning that their chance of getting the most value from Kevin, if they decide to go the trade direction, they have felt for a long time that their best chance would be this upcoming offseason just because of the dearth of free agents available. And if a team is going to look for a big splash this offseason, it's not going to be in free agency. It's going to be in a trade. And right now at the deadline, there might be, for other teams around there, there might be other guys that can give similar things that Kevin can that don't have the same contract that he does, and it wouldn't cost as much. So they might be looking for a quick, easier fix rather than the big splash, which could happen this offseason, if that makes sense.
Any shot Tristan Thompson wants to be back and any shot the Cavs would want him back under the contract it might take to get him?
So I do think Tristan does want to be back. I think it's meaningful to him to play his entire career with the Cavs. I think it's meaningful to him when you talk about his place in Cavaliers history. And the only way that he can continue to move up the ranks in Cavs history is by staying here. But it all depends on what kind of contract he's going to get, and it all depends on what kind of market could be out there for him this summer in free agency. I had a conversation with somebody close to Tristan when we were in Los Angeles, and I got the sense that all sides, including the Cavs, want to explore all of the options at this point. And that means if the Cavs can get a first-round pick for Tristan, a valuable first-round pick that's not at the back end of the first round, I think they would absolutely take that. I think for Tristan, it's if I'm going to give up free agency this upcoming summer and I'm going to agree to a contract extension, and according to my sources, there have not been any conversations between the Cavs and Tristan Thompson's camp about a contract extension to this point. And I think part of that is if I'm going to give up free agency and that opportunity, then you better make it worth my time with a kind of contract that I couldn't possibly say no to.
Like what he has now, Chris?
I don't know that the Cavs would go that way.
Like what he has now, Chris, or would it take more? He's making what, about 17, 18
million? I think
what
he has now, just because of the way that the market is, I'm not sure that Tristan on the open market this coming free agency, even as bad as free agency is going to be, I'm not sure he can get the same number that he has right now. I think he would have to take a lesser number. And who knows, like, this is the NBA. You get stunned by some of the contracts that these guys have gotten in the past. But a lot of teams, guys, are saving their cap space for the 2021 free agency class with Giannis. And to lock themselves into Tristan Thompson and give up a contender doing that and giving up a chance of taking a run at the 2021 free agency class, it just doesn't seem all that likely to me.
Enjoy the game tonight. You get a hot Memphis Grizzlies team. How's that for fun?
Yeah. I mean, the last time they were held in check offensively was against the Cavs in Cleveland. I think it was the last time that they scored less than 112 points or something like that. So who knows? They're one of the better teams right now on the rise. And Ja Morant is playing like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Playing like a seasoned vet, even though he's just a rookie. So it should be a tough challenge for the Cavs for sure.
Morant, thanks, Chris.
Morant with Jackson, you've got something special there starting in Memphis. Chris, thank you very much.
Yep. You got it, guys.
Chris Fedor covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Joining
not
us
an
on
easy
the
job.
North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.